Welcome to Harvest Mission Community Church. You are listening to one of our sermons.
Hi, church. How are you doing? I hope all of you are doing well. Thank you for praying for us. We are closing out our time here in Thailand. We have about a week left, so please keep us in prayer. And we can't wait to share with you all the great things that God is doing. So God bless you, and especially welcome to those of you who are here for the first time and watching. Next week, I'm going to come live, so we're looking forward to that. So we're excited to share a part five in our series that we've talked about called Practice. And we want to be a church that's really growing in our relationship with God. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Colossians chapter 4. We're going to just look at several verses here as we talk about the practice of intercession. So hopefully you have turned to Colossians chapter 4. You can also just right over here look at the notes. So if you need to get the sermon notes, you can just scan that and receive that. Some of you might have received it through your life group. But I'm really excited to share about the importance of the practice of intercession. Once again, I want to just remind us why we're doing this whole series. There are three purposes that we talked about. First of all, it's just being able to grow deeper in our relationship with God. This is one of the main reasons why we decided to use this summer to focus in on this idea of practicing our spiritual habits that will help us to grow in our intimacy with God. The second reason why we talked about was we wanted to go deeper into our just our discipleship. You know, one of the things that we've noticed is that many of our discipleship has been very shallow. We just kind of meet together and eat or drink coffee, but really wanted to go deeper so that every single one of us can be a follower of Jesus Christ. And the third and last reason is that we wanted to get ready for this new season of ministry. As you know, the summer is a great time to grow and deepen our relationship with God. And so that with the new season in autumn, with many students, new students coming back, coming for the first time, many students coming back, as well as new families and new single adults in our city ministry, we want to make sure that we are ready for the things that God has planned for us. So we so far talked about the practice of praise. We talked about the practice of giving. And last week, we talked about the practice of studying the Bible. Today, we're going to talk about the practice of intercession. So I want to start off and ask a question. I'm wondering if you've ever prayed for something, and as you're praying and the outcome, the answered prayer was not exactly what you expected nor what you wanted. I think all of us can testify and say that we've been there in that situation. I think about some of the experience, some of us who have experienced this in our lives. Just think about when we pray for something, for God to take something away in our lives. It could be a trial or difficulties, but that's not what He does. And so we're wondering, is prayer something that's powerful and effective? We also pray for sometimes certain open doors to open up before us, but sometimes it doesn't happen. And so the very thing that we're praying for, it doesn't come to pass. Sometimes we pray for a certain job, maybe getting into a certain school, and God ends up closing that door and opens up another opportunity. And sometimes maybe some of us were praying, God, make us more loving or make us more humble. And then we realize that He brings unlovable people our way or go through difficulties to make us more humble in that way. So there are many times when God answers our prayer as we pray and intercede, not in the way we think, but the way God sees it. That's why the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. Listen to what it says in the ESV. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, sometimes we got to remember this, that times when we do pray, sometimes it is not what we think, that God in His sovereignty will answer it. That's good for us as well as for His glory. I wanted to show you this quick video, and I don't know how many of you know Key and Peele, and they're comedians, and they try to address different social issues, and they made this vignette to just share about how Christians in this Christian circle, or if you want, Christian bubble, we We pray for so many things. And the amazing thing is that God answers our prayer, but it's not always the way we want it to. So as you watch this video, it's going to be something that hopefully you'll find it very relatable, but also in some ways it's kind of funny because this is exactly where we are and oftentimes what we do. So let's watch this video together. How many of us can testify that's exactly what we've experienced? So many times we pray for things and God is speaking to us, but we don't like the answer. So then we attribute it or we think that it's not really God. You know, as we think about this, we realize that as we look at our own prayer life, we look at when we have to pray for different things, what God is looking for is our hearts, because it's out of the heart where everything will flow. And so when you think about prayer, there are many reasons why we don't pray. Not only during the difficult times when we should be praying, but even just when things are going well, to be in that relationship with Jesus Christ. So let me give us a couple of reasons that I think why we don't pray. I think number one is that we're just too busy. Many of us in our busy lives that we run around and we fail to pause and just spend some time in prayer to just reconnect with God. A second reason is that we're too self-sufficient. Many of us are very capable and we like to do things on our own. We don't need help from anyone else. And it's only when things don't work out we realize, oh, we can't do things on our own strength. So sometimes we're just too self-sufficient. I think another reason why we don't pray as much and the prayer that we should implement into our lives because we just lack faith. Some of us think that maybe God won't answer this prayer or this situation is too big for us. So sometimes lacking in faith hinders us from praying. The fourth reason I came up with was just some of us are just ignorant about the need for prayer. We don't really know much about prayer. So that's why in our ignorance, we just don't pray at all. And the list goes on and on why believers do not have this intimate prayer life with God and why we are not interceding for the needs around us. I think one of the worst parts of all this is that many believers forget about the spiritual warfare that is going on. This is one of the key reasons, not only connection with God, but realizing there is a spiritual war that is happening and that there is opposition that is coming our way. And that's why we need to pray. Listen to what R.A. Torrey said in his book, The Power of Prayer and the Prayer of Power. Listen to what he says. He says this, when the devil sees a man or woman who really believes in prayer, who knows how to pray, and who really does pray, and above all, when he sees a whole church on its face before God in prayer, he trembles as much as he ever did, for he knows that his day in that church or community is at the end. What a great reminder. I'm wondering, is our church, is our community like that? That we are a praying church, that we not only have a personal prayer life, every single one of us, but whenever we gather together, whenever we meet together, that we pray. And because we're praying, that even Satan is afraid because he realizes his days are numbered in our community. I pray that we will be that kind of church. And that's why we're talking about this practice of intercession and the practice of prayer. And so we want to go ahead and just jump into this passage. And we want to talk about why the practice of intercession, and I'm going to explain a little bit more about what that is. Why is that important in growing deeper in our intimacy with God, as well as to just going deeper in our discipleship and getting ready for this coming year? So let me give us the one thing. The one thing is simply this, that when we have a heart for intercession, we will see God's work of transformation. Let me say it again, that when we have a heart for intercession, we will see God's work of transformation. There are two things that I want us to remember about having a heart for intercession and how we can see God's work of transformation occurring in our lives as well as those people around us. Here's the first thing that I want to mention. The first thing is this, that we must intercede with God's persistence. That we must intercede with God's persistence. You know, when we look into this passage in chapter 4 in the book of Colossians, what we will see is that here's Paul after he talks about the various ways that we relate to one another in the family, whether it's husbands, wives, children, and parents, and those who are working. as he mentions this, he makes the shift and he talks about the importance of prayer, about intercession. And so as we talk about this, let me just first allude you to another passage that talks about different types of prayer. I don't know if you know this or not, but in the New Testament, there are about 7 different words for the word for prayer. So each one of them has a different emphasis, and that's why I think it's important to understand why prayer is such an important part to our walk with God. So let me explain those different definitions of them. So let me just look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And I'm going to read it from the ESV. And just say the yellow sections with me as I read this out loud. And listen to what it says. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. First of all, then I urge that, let's say this together, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. So right here, I want to talk about at least 3 different words that the New Testament uses for prayer. And so we see this, here's Apostle Paul using these 3 words here. The first one is supplications. The word supplication describes an expression of personal need or desire and a reminder of personal insufficiency. That pretty much that we cannot do anything ourselves, that we see that there's a specific need in our lives, and that's why we need God to come and work. That's what it means when we lift up different supplications. And this is how the New Testament, especially Apostle Paul, uses this. The second word that we'll see is the word prayer. And that word, in a general sense, is really an act of worship, both in public and in private. And this is where a person communes and communicates with God through Jesus Christ. If you think about this word prayer, it simply means it is an act of devotion to God, because you're communion with Him, you're fellowshipping with Him, you're communicating with Him. So it is your heart being devoted to God as you are praying. So we see supplication, we see prayers, and the third word that we see is the word intercession. And this is what I want to focus in on, because this is the practice of intercession. The word intercession describes a person coming near to God with a childlike faith and confidence on behalf of another. So when we think about interceding or intercession, that is us coming to God with this childlike faith and with just tremendous belief in what God can do, and we are walking alongside somebody and praying for them on their behalf. So this idea of interceding means to fall in with the person or to draw near so you are familiar. It's a very powerful word, because when you are interceding, that means that you are entering in some sense their world, and that you are walking with them with whatever they are struggling with or whatever situation that they're in. You'll see this even as it's reference to the Holy Spirit and in reference to Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27, Paul says the Spirit intercedes for us. That even in our groanings and in our struggle, that it's the Spirit of God who enters into our world and He is interceding for us. You will also see this in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, where it clearly says that Jesus is also interceding for us. I think this is more highlighted in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. So I want to read that passage for us. Listen to what it says. Consequently, He's able to save you to the uttermost, those who draw near to God through Him, since He, referring to Jesus, always lives to what? Say this together. Make intercession for them. So here's Jesus Christ, who has entered into our world. And when He died on the cross, He and ascended into heaven. Now He is interceding for us before the Father. That means that Jesus meets us right where we are. That's why this word intercession is very important to understand, because He is intervening with His presence, with His power, so that He can accomplish His purposes in us. So now, with that understanding, and as we focus in on intercession, I want you to understand how God is accomplishing His purpose through Jesus Christ as we come together in prayer and intercession, not only for ourselves, but for one another. So let me go ahead and read Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. I'm going to read this first verse, and then we'll look at the last two verses at the second point. Listen to what it says. Continue steadfastly in prayer, be watchful in it with thanksgiving. So let me just pause here and comment on this as we're talking about how we must pray with God's persistence. Here's Paul encouraging the believers to continue steadfastly in prayer. The phrase continue steadfastly means to give constant attention to or care to a thing, to persevere, to wait continually upon, and to be constant readiness. There's a constant readiness for something. So that idea of continue steadfastly is really about perseverance. It's really about standing firm. And why are we to do that? Because it is being continually steadfast in prayer. Because we all know that it's easy to give up. It's easy to just pray and then say, well, God's not doing anything. But here's Paul saying that if we're going to persist and see God work, we have to persist, but it has to be the persistence that God gives us into our lives. That's why the word devoted or devote can be used as this action of continual steadfastness. Here's Apostle Paul wanting the believers to be devoted to prayer. He knew that prayer is not something that is an option for believers. It is not an option for you or me. In fact, prayer is a necessity and is something that should be a part of our daily lives. That's why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, those of us who have a hard time memorizing scripture, this is one verse that we have no excuse that we should all memorize. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, what does it say? It says to pray without ceasing. What a short verse that all of us can memorize. Here's some other translations of that verse, of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It says this in the New Living Translation: never stop praying. The Amplified says, be unceasing and persistent in prayer. So that doesn't mean that every single second you're praying, people are going to think that you're kind of weird. But it is that kind of spirit of dependence on God. That as you're going to your next meeting, as you're preparing to give that presentation at work, as you're getting ready to study, or as you're getting ready to meet that person, it is this heart of dependence and learning how to persevere in prayer, abiding in Christ, believing and trusting that He is going to answer and He is going to do some amazing things. So with that in mind, what do we see here? As we begin to pray steadfastly, continue in steadfastly in prayer, there are two things that should accompany prayer. Now, this is the part I want you to pay attention to. This is important as we talk about praying with God's persistence. The first thing is this: to be guarded. When we are praying, Paul is reminding us to be guarded. In fact, he uses the word watchful or to watch. And the reason why this is important is that the word to watch, it has this idea of to give strict attention to be active, to be ready for some destructive calamity to suddenly overtake us. So that would be like a typhoon that's coming, a T8 maybe, or even a T10 or T9. And you're watchful to see any danger and anything that will happen. That is the word that Paul is using, that when we are continuing steadfastly in prayer, he's saying to be watchful, to be guarded, to know and get ready to see if there's anything that will happen. And the reason why this is important, because Paul uses other translations to convey this idea of being alert or to be vigilant. And you'll see this in other portions of scripture. So here's God persistently pursuing after us, and He is protecting us. And it is with that persistence that we have to continue steadfastly in prayer. That's why if some of you have been praying and you feel like nothing's happening, God is trying to encourage you this morning to not stop, to continue, to persist in prayer as God gives you the strength. Here's the second thing that we notice is not only to be guarded, he says to be grateful when it comes to prayer. Paul also mentions about praying with thanksgiving and interceding with thanksgiving. Let me read it from the New American Standard Bible. Listen to what it says and read this yellow section with me out loud. It says this: devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with, and everyone say this, an attitude of thanksgiving. It is really, really hard to have a heart of prayer when you're not thankful. I don't know how many times I think about the times that I had to lead prayer. I had to be in a group where I am praying. And when I'm thinking about all the things that are going on in my life, when I think about all the things that other things I could be doing, the reason why I don't have a heart for prayer in that moment is because I'm not thankful. I realize Paul is kind of giving us a secret recipe to be able to enter into this presence of God through prayer and interceding. What is it? It's thankfulness. It's gratitude. That's why one of the best ways to start off any kind of prayer, if you're in a prayer gathering, is just to start by just giving thanks to God. Thank you, God, for just life. Thank you for working in my life. Thank you for just the ways you've been speaking to me. If you have nothing, you can't think of anything, just thank him for salvation. Thank him for his love and his grace. And when you begin to have that kind of mindset, a heart of gratitude, you realize that it opens up not only your heart, but it opens up the heavens as you begin to pray. And this is why we start off with prayer. Look at some other places where Paul talks about the importance of prayer and intercession coupled with this idea of thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, I'm going to read it from the NIV and read the yellow section with me. It says this: do not be anxious about everything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. So we see the prayer and petition. And what does he say? With thanksgiving, present your request to God. So here's prayer and petition, and then he says, with thanksgiving. Here's another verse, and we read the first part, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. It says, pray without ceasing, and I want you to say verse 18 with me. It says this: give thanks in all circumstances. Say that again. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So once again, prayer without stop, pray without ceasing. And then he says what? And he makes it very clear: with all things, be thankful. And this is a heart of thankfulness, this position, having this heart of thankfulness that is the right attitude before God. And that's where our prayers can be effective. And as we have this heart of gratitude, and as we persist with God's persistence, we will see God doing some amazing things. I'm just reminded when I think about my own life, that a heart of gratitude, a heart that is guarded and watchful, and as I see what God is doing, that when I persist with the strength that he gives, that he opens up tremendous doors, not only in my life, in our family's life, but also just being able to see what God is doing in our church. I pray that this will be something that we learn as we go into our lives, to pray with God's persistence. We talked about how we must pray with God's persistence. And now the second point, as I close out here, is I want to talk about how we must pray with God's perspective, that we must pray with God's perspective. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 3 and 4, these two verses, as we close out this topic of prayer and intercession. It says this: at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. So right here we see in verse 3 that Apostle Paul is asking the believers to pray for him and the others who are with him when it comes to serving and ministering on the field. Now, Paul understood the importance of prayer, receiving prayer. Not only is he praying to God in his own personal prayer, but he noticed the importance of receiving prayer from other people, because he, once again, he was aware of not only God's power and presence, but he realized that he could not do this by himself. That's why he prayed. That's why he asked other people to pray for him. I think too often we trust in our own capabilities. A lot of times we trust in our own wisdom to try to figure things out. When was the last time that even before you endeavored in something or you were trying to engage in something, that before you did, just for a brief moment, even if it's for 5 seconds, just to pray, God, I need you. I am dependent on you. I'm wondering what would happen if we had that kind of mindset as we began to engage in the things that we have to do, whether it's at work, before you get into your office, whether in your classes, whether when you meet up with people, what would happen? And that's why I really feel like one of the most powerful things about our church is that even as we send missions projects team out to different places, that it's never just that team going by themselves. We have you, the church, who's behind and in Hong Kong and praying for us. And that's why we believe that there's power in prayer. Some of you probably are prayer partners for our missions project teams. And in fact, I've sent out a message and we've been setting up some prayer updates and why we need to pray for certain things. As some of you know, there are some people who struggle with the visa situation. We had to work all that out. Some people weren't feeling well. Some people, God was doing some incredible work in their hearts. And we were asking for prayer because these things that God wanted to work on them to give them a greater sense of understanding of his grace and his power and God's love for them in their lives. As we've been sharing our testimonies, getting to know one another, even as we were serving on the different places. I think we had a great week and a half in China, not because of our own power or wisdom, but many of you were praying for us that as we were ministering, even in a place that might have been a little bit more difficult, that God was protecting us. He opened up doors for us to actually meet different pastors that we're praying that we'll have a longer relationship with as they're doing some incredible work in China. That's all because of the prayers that you were lifting up for us as you were supporting us. And Paul knew that as he was doing ministry, that he wanted the saints, the believers, to pray for him. I also think about our church plant team that got started in 2015 when we came. If you look at this picture, you will notice that this was our prayer card that we sent out to our church, that we gave to our church to pray for us. And if you look at this prayer card, you'll notice that here we are, we're smiling. I think we might have been a little bit thinner or fatter, depends on how you look at it. And definitely some people had more hair back then. But here we are giving out these prayer cards and we're asking people to pray for us. Because we knew that this church back in 2015 could not have started just with us. We're limited. There's weaknesses that we have. There are things that we do not know. But we know through the power of prayer, and as we begin to intercede for people, and as people were interceding for us as a church plant team, God used it. And now we are in 2023, and God has been faithful in these 8-some years, and has been answering our prayer. And we're so grateful for all that God has been doing. It's because of people who have been praying for us. I want you to think about this. Some of you who are in our church right now, and that you weren't there back in 2015 or even 16 or 17, maybe you just came right after the pandemic. I want you to think about this, that there have been people who have prayed for this church plant, for this church to be planted and started, so that you can experience God, you can experience the gospel message, you can experience transformation. As people were interceding for this church plant, and you are the direct result of the fruits of those people's prayers. When was the last time that you actually interceded and prayed for other people? When was the last time you actually prayed for others or other situations, maybe even things around the world, and God used your prayers to make a difference? Many of us, we miss these opportunities for God to use us in prayer and intercession because we're so consumed with our needs and what we want, what we need, that we forget that there are needs around us and outside of us that we should be praying about. And so Paul knew the importance of asking for prayer. look at some of these verses to help us understand as he was asking for prayer. In Romans chapter 15, verse 30, in the New Living Translation, read the yellow section with me. It says this: Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to what? Join in my struggle by praying to God for me. So here's Apostle Paul inviting the believers to pray for him and in this struggle for God to work. Do this because of your love for me, given to you by the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. Listen to what it says. Dear brothers and sisters, he simply says what? Pray for us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to what? Pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. So here's Paul saying, pray for us. I'm wondering if you are self-sufficient or God-dependent. Are you self-sufficient or God-dependent? Because if you are God-dependent, not only will you pray, but you will ask others to pray for you, especially in the situation that you're in. I think one of the best ways to know this, answer this question, are we self-sufficient or God-dependent, is our prayer life and how often we ask others and invite others to pray with us. Now, it's interesting that as we're talking about praying with God's perspective, that he specifically mentions two things when he asks for prayer support. So I want you to see this, and let's turn back to the passage. And if you look at chapter 4 in Colossians, chapter 3 and 4, I want to just read it one more time so that you can get this. It says this: At the same time, pray also for us. So he's asking people for prayer. He says that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So here's two things that Paul is asking for specifically when he invites people to pray for him. And this is where God's perspective has to come in. Here's the first thing: pray for the opportunities. That's what Paul is asking the people in Colossae and many other places. He was asking to pray for opportunities. You will notice here that he prays that God will open up a door for the word to be declared. In fact, the phrase open door is used in a very figurative way to express the freedom of movement or choice. So when he's praying that God, will you open up that door? He's saying, may you allow us the freedom to move around and declare the message of Jesus Christ. Listen to some of these other translations to help you to get this idea. In the Contemporary English Version, it says this: Be sure to pray that God, and say this with me, will make a way for us to spread his message. Listen to what it says in the Voice Translation. Pray that God would open doors, and say this together, windows and minds and ears and hearts for the word, so that we can go on telling the mystery of the anointed. So this idea of windows and doors and the mind and the heart and the eyes of people, so that God can work as the gospel is being declared. And the last translation, the Amplified Version, listen to what it says. At the same time, pray for us too, that God will open a door of opportunity to us for the word. What a great reminder. When was the last time you actually prayed for other people? You interceded and you're praying for opportunities, for doors to open for that person. This is why the Apostle Paul asked the people to pray for these types of opportunities. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8 and 9, listen to what it says. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost for a wide door for effective work has what? Opened for me. And there are many adversaries. So Paul also knew, as he was asking people to pray for him, that there was this wide open door and the opportunity for the gospel to go forth. When we pray with God's perspective,
what are some of the doors and opportunities that you feel like that God will open up? Can I just ask us just to pause here for a moment and to think about that? I want you to think about this idea of if we were to pray for this open door, open opportunity, what would it be? I was thinking about this and I said, man, can we pray for opportunities and open doors for more salvation for us as a church this coming year? Can we pray that there'll be more baptisms, people understanding the gospel message and trusting Jesus, not only for the first time, but maybe now they fully understand what it really means to be a Christ follower? Can we pray that more churches will be planted? Can we pray for even different sites to be opened in Hong Kong, in different places in Hong Kong, that it will be an open door of opportunity for us? Can we even pray that we'll be able to get a building, an open door, an opportunity so that we can have a hub where we will do ministry and reach out to more people for the glory of God? That's when we can praise God for all that he has done. That's why even Apostle Paul, when they returned after the missionary journey, he shared about what God has done to the people in the church of Antioch. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 14, verse 27. It says, upon arriving in Antioch, they called the church together and reported everything God has done through them and how, and say this phrase with me, he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles too. I pray that we will be able to testify as we have God's perspective in the prayers that he answers, that it was God who opened the door for us to do his work, and so many people will come to know Christ. Here's the second thing that I want you to note. Not only did he pray and ask the people to pray for him for the opportunities, but he also invited them to pray for the outcomes. He asked them to pray for the outcomes. Look at verse 4 again. We see the Apostle Paul is asking them to pray that the proclamation of the gospel would be clear. Paul didn't want any hindrances because he knew that the gospel could genuinely transform people. That's why he says, Lord, help me not get in the way. Help me to make it very clear so that when they hear the gospel message, the outcome would be there will be life transformation. People will be set free. People who are living in darkness will now be living in freedom. And he wanted the proclamation of the gospel to be done with clarity and conviction. Now, when we pray for outcomes, we must remember to have God's perspective. Why is this important? Because prayer and intercession is not telling God what he should do for us. But when we're interceding, what we're praying for is God's will to be done in that person's life, whatever it may be. And oftentimes it is consistent with the scriptures. What God has promised in his word is what we pray to God as we intercede for that person. And it is that promise in which God will answer and make it come true in that person's life, that it will be fulfilled and that person will be blessed. Listen to what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. I'm going to read it from the ESV and just read this yellow section with me. And it says this, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything, and what is this phrase? According to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So once again, what would happen if you and I, that we actually interceded not only for the people that's around us, not only praying for our church, but think about this for a moment. What would happen if we started to intercede for our workplace? What would happen if we started praying for our schools, our universities, our high schools? What would happen if we started praying for the city of Hong Kong, of the 7.4 million people, and many of them who do not know Christ? What would it be like if we started interceding and praying for so many in the circle that we talk about and throughout Asia, where now is close to 61% of the world's population, with so many of these people who do not know Christ, many worshiping other gods and other religions? What would happen if we began to intercede for these things and for these people? Because if it's God's perspective, it's God's heart to bring all people into a saving knowledge of Him, I'm wondering what we will see. I think it will be powerful. It's just that God's people, we don't pray. And I'm challenging us, and I'm challenging myself, I'm challenging our church, all of us together, that in this season, there's such an incredible need for prayer and intercession for one another, for our church, for our city, for this whole region of Asia and around the world, with everything that's happening, that I pray that we will be a church. That's a church that's interceding, a church of intercession, a church that prays for God to do miraculous things and bring transformation. Some people will argue, and some of us might be thinking, well, think about our motives when we pray. Pastor, isn't it kind of sometimes selfish when we try to pray for all these things? Well, to you, I would say something like this. Yes, in our imperfection and in our sinfulness, there are times when our prayers are mixed with selfishness, it's mixed with ourselves, maybe not having the full knowledge and perspective of God. There are things that we pray about that's not in the will of God. But can I just encourage us to know that God still will accomplish His purpose, even though our motives are imperfect. I love what Richard Foster says in his book, Prayer, because he addresses that. Listen to what he says. He says this: the truth of the matter is we all come to prayer with a tangled mass of motives, altruistic and selfish, merciful and hateful, loving and bitter. Frankly, this side of eternity, we will never unravel the good from the bad, the pure from the impure. But what I have come to see is that God is big enough to receive us with all our mixture. We do not have to be bright or pure or filled with faith or anything. That is what grace means. And not only are we saved by grace, we live by it as well. And we pray by it. What a great reminder for us that it is the grace of God that not only saves us, but it is the same grace that enables us to begin to intercede and pray. I do pray that we'll pray with God's perspective, that everything that we pray for, it is to advance His kingdom, to glorify Him and to honor Him, even though at times it's mixed with a lot of impure motives, but that God is greater and God is that much more good than us, that we will see Him work. So that's why I really believe this is simply the gospel message. Why? Because here's Jesus Christ who came into this world and He died on the cross so that we could have eternal life. And He is now, and also through the Holy Spirit, He is interceding for us. He's pleading for us. And right now, for some of us who might not know Jesus Christ, He's interceding through the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you. He's using people and circumstances as they're interceding for you. That's what He's doing in our lives. Those of us who are believers, the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ is still interceding. Even when we sin, that He stands in our behalf and points to the cross that our sins are forgiven. And that's why when we think about all that He has done and all that He is doing, even though we don't know what He's going to be doing in the future, we could be interceding and praying and believing by faith that by the grace of God, that He will do some incredible things. That's why the one thing, once again, is simply this, that when we have a heart for intercession, we will see God's work of transformation. Let me say it again, that when we have a heart for intercession, we will see God's work of transformation. Let me just go ahead and give us some quick next steps, because you could hear a message on prayer, intercession, but the challenge for us is now what? What are some things that I could start implementing by God's grace, even as we walk out of this place? Let me give us just a handful of things for us to think about and pray about and ask God to help you to live a life and practice this intercession. The first thing is this: ask people to pray for you. Very simple. So stop trying to do things on your own strength or your own power. Even though you might think, oh, this is so dumb. It's just a little thing. But ask for prayer. Here's the thing. Sometimes those of us who are very self-sufficient, you know one of the things you forget? The thing that you forget is sometimes by asking people to pray for you, it's not just for you. But by asking people to pray, can you imagine God is using that to help them to pray? That's why asking people for prayer, even in some of the littlest things in your mind, but it's God's way of working in a powerful way. Not only in you, realizing that I'm self-sufficient, I cannot do this by myself, but I need you, God, for me to be dependent on you and for others to be invited into and to intercede for us. So ask others to pray for you. I would say secondly is this, approach others so that you could pray for them. Go up to them, approach them and say, hey, is there anything I could pray for you about? When was the last time you did that? You know, when I think about some of the good friendships, are the friendships where people are praying for you. When you know that they're praying for you, it brings us together. I want to challenge us this coming week to just start approaching some people or even just WhatsApp them and just message them and say, hey, what can I pray for you about this week? Or what can I pray for you about today? I'm going to have some prayer time and I want to pray for you. Do you know what it will do for their hearts and for their soul? They'll be so encouraged knowing that you not only care for them, but you're going to intercede for them. So approach people this coming week so that ask them for a prayer request so you can pray for them. Here's the third thing, is adjust your perspective in prayer. Remember, sometimes God does not answer your prayer right away. His delays, as many people often have said, his delays are not his denials. So sometimes you're not ready for the things that God is going to do. So he's causing things to happen. He's working on your heart, your character. So persevere in prayer. Be persistent. Keep on being watchful. Keep on being guarded. Keep on praying with gratitude. And just to be able to adjust your perspective to God's perspective. To really believe that if this is part of what God says in his word, he's going to do it. But not in your timetable, not in my timetable, but he's going to do it. So adjust your perspective. Ask him for the grace to see things the way he sees them. And here's the last thing. Advance God's kingdom in prayer. Advance God's kingdom in prayer. What that means is that God is inviting us to be a part of his kingdom work. So when you begin to intercede, start praying for your campus, even now, even though it's summer and the new students are not here. When you start praying and interceding for your campus and for the OCR that's coming up, Operation Campus Reach, when you start praying for the new students who are coming, what God is going to do is he's going to prepare the way. And that you will meet people to experience great things as you share the gospel. So can I encourage you to really participate in God's kingdom work, advance it together with God as you begin to pray. Pray for even your workplace. Pray for your families. Pray for your neighborhood. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for even missions. And some of us who are thinking about going on missions next year or maybe later on this year, to begin to pray now. So God, may your work advance. May your kingdom advance here on this earth. With that in mind, I want to close out with this last video. And I think this will help us to really see the importance of intercession. There's a renowned doctor by the name of Dr. Michael Haglund, and he is a doctor, he's a surgeon, and one of the things that he began to do after he had this incredible moment of an experience through prayer as he was praying for one of his patients, that he began to pray for every single one of his patients. Now that's the power of intercession in his job, just to be able to advance God's kingdom and to help people to understand that God exists, God loves them, and God is for them. So every single time he does surgery, he prays for that person, he prays for the family, and God uses that to do incredible works. So I want you to watch this video. After you watch this video, we're gonna just respond in worship and in prayer. And can I just ask us, as you're praying, will you pray for our team as we close out this coming week? Our last week that's coming up today, we have our Sunday celebration. As you're having this Sunday celebration right now, We have next week just to close out. Pray for us. And we want to encourage you to also spend some time praying for the rest of the summer, the life group that you're in, that God will strengthen our intimacy with God. He will deepen our discipleship. Can I also ask you to pray for our new coming year's ministry, whether it's city ministry, maybe some of you are in the covenant ministry. We need a lot of prayer. Those of you in the city ministry, the focus ministry for the single adults, we need prayer as we start this new season. For those of us, like I said, in your different campuses, pray for your campus now so that God could do some powerful things. So we would love for you to pray and then worship and then pray. And let's ask God to use our prayers, our intercession, for great things. So God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Mission Community Church podcast. For more information, visit our website at hongkong.hmcc.net.